Would all kind of manage to find your seats if you don't mind kind of coming a little bit closer so we can see each other, and that would be awesome. If you have reasons to sit towards the back, you can do so, but that would be great. Let me give everybody a chance. Can you guys see me? Because, you know, I'm not standing where the front lights are. How's that? That's a little better, isn't it? Okay. Woo, good grief. That is some light. Whew. Can you see off the reflection on the top of the head? Okay. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad that you guys could make it out. My name is Andy Hayner, and Daniel Fuster and I will be your guides through the next few days. We're going to be doing what we call the Overcoming Life Conference, and let me kind of give you a bit of an overview for what that's all about, so that you can, if you've already heard a little bit, that's great, but here's what we're going to be focusing on. I am excited because this congregation in particular, I know, has been making a lot of headway in terms of helping people to understand who they are in Christ and how to walk in His fullness as a lifestyle. So there's been a good foundation laid for most people. If you're not from this congregation or new to this congregation, or whatever, you're not going to be lost. We're going to be hitting some of the basics. But what I really had on my heart from conversation that I had with Daniel, and it's kind of been confirmed through conversations that I've had with Pastor Roger in my time here already, is the questions that a lot of people are facing of, once you receive the seed planted, once you receive the message that Jesus came to give us, once you receive the life that He came to give us, and understand that Jesus did not give Daniel one seed and me one seed and you a different seed. That seed is the seed of the life of Christ. It is the seed of the kingdom. And so that is the good news, is that what has been planted inside of us when we receive Jesus is nothing less than the life of Christ Himself. So that we can live by His life. He's given us the same relationship as Jesus with Him. And so many times, you know, we consider ourselves in our Christian life of struggling in our relationship with God. Listen, your relationship is the relationship that Jesus has with the Father and nothing less. Because He says, basically, if we have to have a relationship with you, it's not going to work because you don't know how to relate with us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay my life down so that the Father can adopt you and give you my relationship with Him. See, I've been in the family. I was born a son. That's who I am. I am the eternal Son of God. And you were created to partake of me and to enjoy my standing with the Father. You weren't ever intended to have to build your own relationship with God, standing on your own two feet. You were always intended to participate in my relationship with the Father, not just externally so that the Father looks at you differently than how you feel, but internally, so that He actually puts my spirit inside of you so that you can stop running your old tapes and start running new ones. Amen? Stop running your old programs with bugs in it and start live streaming my heart to the Father and the Father's heart to me through your own heart and mind as your experience with God. Isn't that awesome? But not only does Jesus want to reprogram us with Him and hook us up, He wants to flow through us and to impact the world around us. And that's a good thing. But once you receive that message, there's challenges. It's not automatic. It's not necessarily easy. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. His yoke is easy, but it's challenging to stay in that yoke. It's easy to slip that one off and put a bunch of others on top of it. Why is that? And so what we really want to focus on in this conference are things that are going to help you to identify challenges, to identify attacks, to identify distractions and diversions and things that would seek to discourage and to disrupt and to divert you from walking this path, because it's different. Jesus shows us the sower, he goes forth to sow, and some people don't even receive it. But then there's others who do receive it. And some of them, very quickly, it just gets uprooted. Others, it takes root, but there's a lot of other stuff in there too, and it just crowds it out. They have root, but they have no fruit. And then there's those, though, that they receive the seed, and then it grows up. And it bears fruit and multiplies. And this is what God has for each one of us. So you don't have to compare yourself with anybody else. You don't have to think that, oh man, Daniel, he's got a special calling, or, you know, he's got special gifts or whatever. It's the same seed with the same life, the same power, the same fruit will come forth through your life as through anybody else's. It has to do with learning how to cooperate and to nourish the seed. And so that's just a general overview of the conference in general. So tonight we're going to focus specifically on addressing challenges pertaining to our identity in Christ. And, you know, for some people they think, ah, I got this, you know, got my identity down, no problem. But I want to encourage you, we need constant reminders, and it's really easy to get off track. And this is the area that the enemy, all his attacks in every other area are really aimed at this one thing, to get your eyes off of the fact that Jesus lives in you and he is your life. Everything else is just aimed right at that one thing. And he'll come at it from 1,000 different angles. And so we're going to hit it from 1,001 different angles to help you stay free, to help you stay focused, and help you stay at peace. So we're going to hit that tonight, our identity in Christ. Tomorrow, we're going to be focusing on a number of things during the day. In the evening, we're particularly going to be going after overcoming challenges in the areas of healing. There's a lot of people who didn't ever believe that God heals, and now they start to believe that he sometimes heals if you get lucky, you know, and all the stars align, you know, or whatever. But when you begin to realize Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday, he is as much of a healer today as he was then you still may face challenges. How do you overcome them, right? So if there's anybody who's batting 1,000, we'll let you share how you do it. But for now, I will share with you what I've learned, what I've seen in terms of seeing increasing fruit in that area and staying on the path when you don't see the results that Jesus paid for. And you know he paid for them. You know, how do you process all this stuff? And what do you do when other people are challenging you? Well, that's just your interpretation and all those kind of things. And then Friday night, we're going to deal Saturday night. Saturday night, we're going to deal with overcoming the darkness, specific areas, different areas of demonic attack, recognizing that. And how do you stay on the path in the midst of trials and demonic attack and different various sorts of things that people can deal with in that area? And then Sunday morning, we're going to just bless your socks off and help you really stay focused on who you are for the long term, okay? So that's the basics of it. Saturday during the day, we are going to have an opportunity to put these things into practice, to go out into the streets together. So if you're nervous about that, my encouragement to you is don't be, just come with us. Just relax. You can borrow our confidence. You don't have to be an expert. Just be willing to let the love that God puts in you to make you, to let it come out of you. Because there's a hurting world out there, amen? And if we just spend all our time in here shaking each other's hand and encouraging each other, you know, whatever, that's going to be okay. But eventually, you know, it starts to go south. We need to reproduce and to make disciples who make disciples. So, all right. So that's the basic outline. We are going to try to record the sessions. So Daniel and I will be sort of handing off our little lapel mic up here so the audio gets recorded clearly. We're going to also take a break kind of halfway through tonight so that you can let your minds and your keisters relax. You can take a look out at the book table. If you came in tonight and you're not receiving my monthly e-newsletter or you didn't register, if you could please stop by the registration table and make sure that you sign your name and your email address. That way we can continue to stay in touch, and that when these videos get uploaded, you'll have links that will be provided to you so that you can show those around to your friends or review them yourself, as well as find out other opportunities that are part of what I'm doing. Sister Bonnie, bless her heart. Some of you guys know her. She's the secretary here at the church. She was part of our Kenya missions team, and she found out about that because she gets our newsletter. And so if you are looking for opportunities to do amazing things and discover how to release the amazing life of Jesus that impact the world around you, it'd be a good opportunity. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Brother Daniel to come up, and he's going to take us through to the break. So,
thank you. Nice and slick. How's everybody doing? Woohoo! Good? We are very pleased to have Andy here. He came out last year. He came in, I think it was in May. So he doesn't believe that there's warm weather here. He's only ever come to Canada when it's freezing cold, he's unseasonably cold. So it's kind of funny that he seems to catch the hard winters, but it just shows his love for us that he shows up anyways, you know? What do they say, 80 degrees where you come from?
80 degrees.
Yeah, so that's a lot peachier than it is here. So why don't we all stand up real quick? Who had a week this week? Yeah? Everybody? Everybody had a bunch of stuff happen? Everybody had a bunch of just life was happening, right? What we're going to do is we're just going to shed that right now, okay? Because that's one of the first things we got to do. It's so easy to bring the weight of the week into our into our lives in a way that it's not supposed to be there. You know, we can come to these meetings and, well, you know what, I really hope I get filled up. I really hope this changes things. The fact is you are changed, and you're in a different kingdom now, and that's something we have to remind ourselves of all the time. So let's just repeat after me. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that I'm alive in you. Thank you that I am squeaky clean. Thank you that nothing done against me defines me. Thank you that nothing I've failed in defines me. I'm choosing right now to believe only what you say about me. And to let that guide my life, my thought life, my relationships, my emotions, and how I treat other people. Thank you for today. You are good. You're on my team, and you love me, no matter what. Amen. Let's just shout, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Give it up. Yeah, come on. It's okay to be excited. You know, so much of life, we can have a seat if you Thank you so much for standing, guys. It's really important to hit that stuff, man, because who knows? Who knows the week can happen to you, and it almost puts it on like a coat. And you're just dragging that around. And you know all the thoughts go through your head about the right things, the right verses, and the right, well, I could do this, well, I should know that. And then you start feeling guilty because you're feeling that way. So it's like the enemy puts a coat on you, and then he makes you feel guilty for wearing the coat. You know what I mean? And we come underneath that stuff. So it's important to use, you know, Jesus said, hey, sweetie, looking for mama? Right over there. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, right? And so we have our heart, right? We're all kind of like, yeah, I've accepted Jesus into my heart. Our mind, our thinking, you know, we worship him. We lift him up in our thoughts. We cast down imaginations. Our soul, kind of the mind, will, and emotions. But our strength. Our strength is our physical bodies. And it's okay to yell. It's okay to shout. It's okay to flag. It's okay to stand up. It's okay to submit your body to Christ. To allow it to express itself. Right? Our culture is extremely... has been extremely shackled in that area. And so it's good to just brush that stuff off as soon as we get a chance, right? So thank you, Jesus. Tonight, who saw Andy last year? Who was here for this? Bunch of people. Who's never seen Andy? Cool. Good. About half and half. So it'll be even more fun. So I wanna bring some things to you guys that you've probably heard before. One of the things I love about repetition is that we need it, right? Peter says, I think it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, he talks about, I have no problem in reminding you these things to you. He's talking about things, even though you're already established in them, I have no problem repeating them for you because these are the kind of things that slip away in the day-to-day grind, right? It's easy to have these flash-in-the-pan moments where you feel real good, but life happens 1 second at a time, right? It's rare that we actually have huge moments that kind of take us out. It's much more subtle. And so what we're going to be talking about tonight is your identity, which is what we always talk about. We were actually talking last night, me and Andy, and it can get addicting, receiving new revelation. Who's ever felt that feeling, that rush of like, wow, I'm understanding that the doors are opening. I'm seeing something I haven't seen before. And it's an amazing feeling. And you're a little bit unfounded and your feet aren't quite planted, but you know God's leading you somewhere cool. It's really exciting, right? And those are good things and we should experience that. But from personal experience, what can happen is you can get addicted to the emotion produced by that revelation and chase that rather than bringing yourself to a place where you actually know what he revealed to you, that you're established in it, and that you know how to walk that place out. You know what I mean? Like, knowledge is awesome. Chasing revelation and all these things is great. But I wanna be established. Like, who still thinks they have some stuff to learn about what even happened at the crucifixion? And that's like 101. Like, Jesus died on the cross for you. Yeah, okay. Whoa. So sometimes we can often feel like we need to go somewhere. We need to get some new secret knowledge. We need to understand something. But Paul says he labored that he would preach Christ crucified and the implications of that. And that was it. All I taught to you was Christ crucified. And so sometimes we feel like we need to go forward. But once you've reached the cross and the crucifixion and the identity message of what Jesus did through that, it usually always comes back to that in some way. And so I have no problem talking about this again tonight. But I want to tell you that the war for you, the war has always been, from the very beginning, the war has always been over who you think you are. From the very beginning, the war has been over who you think you are. Right? What was the first thing that Satan brought to Adam and Eve? What was the lie? did God really say? Did God really say this? No, he's holding out on you. If you do this, you'll be like him. But they were already like him. He said, let us make man in our image, and then he did. And so what Satan did was he basically said, God's holding out on you, you're not really like him. Here's what you have to do. Right? That was the lie. You're not like him. Here's what you have to do. And then they went, okay. They got deceived into it. Boom. They were crowned with authority. God gave them dominion over the earth. You know, that's why Adam had to name the animals. This is because God gave him dominion on the earth. God couldn't name them. He gave that job to Adam. But when Adam and Eve fell, when they lost sight of who they were, of their dominion, of their authority, of their sonship and daughtership in the kingdom, they submitted to another kingdom. And they came under his rulership. The enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call it, right? The kingdom of darkness, what the Bible talks about. And so, guess what his strategy is today? Now that Christ came, like the answer for humanity, the answer, Jesus Christ, the whole reason the law, the prophets, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, all that stuff was all a culmination. Boom, Jesus gets on the scene. The types and shadows are fulfilled in him. Jesus bursts on the scene. He takes on sin. He crucifies it. He goes to the grave. He rises again. You identify with that through faith, right? The Bible says the promises are to the believers. So if I'm the devil, what's the first thing I'm going to go after in your life? What you believe. Because if I can skew that, Jesus can die. He doesn't have to, but he could die 1,000 times on the cross. He could die every day on the cross. But if I can get you thinking wrong, it won't matter what Christ did at all. Not that it won't matter in the long term, but you understand what I mean. You only benefit from what you know, right? So one of the big, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a very high feeler. I'm very feely. I can walk into a room and I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I can feel the atmosphere. Like I can feel where people are at. And it's not a bad thing, right? It's just how I am. But the trip with that is that I can easily fall into being swayed by circumstances or how people treat me. I can easily fall into just being washed about throughout my whole day based on circumstances and how I feel about those things, right? So one of the best things that ever happened to me was I started understanding that what Jesus accomplished has nothing to do with feelings. It has 100% to do with a legal transaction that occurred on the cross, right? Jesus gave us the right to become children of God. He wiped away all of the legal, Paul says it. All of the legal writing that was against you. This he nailed to the cross, right? So there was a judgment. These are all court terms. These are all legal things. And because I was dependent upon, oh man, do I feel like I'm a Christian today? Do I feel like a son today? I prayed for two people and I raised my hands in worship. Whoa, yeah, feeling good, right? But then I didn't pray for a couple of days, and I missed my devotional time, and that person cut me off, and I just barked at them. Oh, I wonder if I received blessing, and does Jesus actually, I can't be. And then I wallow in my own filth for a few days, and then I come out of it, right? And it's this Christianity that's like, loom, 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 loom. And it's all based on circumstances, what happens outside of myself, and how I perceive it with my emotions. It has nothing to do with the truth. It has nothing to do with Jesus, right? And so what happened to me was I saw, oh my goodness, Jesus died on the cross. God made the judgment against sin. He removed it from me legally. He didn't, maybe I'll bless this one and maybe I'll bless. No, he legally removed sin on the cross, legally removed it. So it is no longer on you. It's not because you're so good. It's because it was God's idea to do that. It talks about how God wanted to, what's the verse? I can't remember. But it talks about how before the foundations of the world, he chose you to be upright, blameless, and whole in him. So this whole thing was God's idea. It had nothing to do with your performance. It had nothing to do with how many people you prayed for or didn't pray for. It had nothing to do with anything external. It came down to the decision of God. Okay, so we're going to look at a little bit of a scripture about that. Making sense so far? I have an iPhone 6, so it's a little slow. All right. John 1, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So this is talking about, John's talking about Jesus coming into the world. He talked about John the Baptist a little bit. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Here's a big one. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know what that means? That means that no matter how you came on the scene, no matter who your parents were, no matter who your great-grandparents were, no matter who was a Mason, no matter who was an Illuminati, no matter who was in a cult, no matter who was or wasn't a Christian, you were born of the will of God. Period. And it was a legal transaction that God decided to do for you on your behalf as a gift. That's it. How involved did you feel you were in that? Before the foundation of the world, he decided. Did you really have much of a say? Or was it really up to God that he decided to make you holy and blameless in Jesus Christ? And he wooed your heart in a certain way, and it's mysterious, and I don't understand it all, but God chose you. You didn't perform. You didn't do well enough. Right? Isn't that good news? It's good news, man. I had one gentleman. He was coming to a couple of our meetings. This makes me want to cry thinking about him. I can't remember what I was teaching on, but I wasn't teaching on like the straight gospel. I was talking about some sort of like rabbit trail, cool stuff, probably theological or something. But he comes up to me at the end of the meeting. He's like, so Daniel, what you're saying, are you saying that there's nothing I can do to earn God's favor, but that he's pleased with me because he's pleased with Jesus? I was like, I don't know how you got that, because that's not what I was talking about. But yeah, that's exactly it. And it was like someone took 25,000 pounds off this guy's shoulders. He went, and just like, I was like, I started crying because it was like, oh my gosh. Like the Holy Spirit ministered to what needed to be ministered in this guy at this time. Because he so wanted to contribute, to earn. He felt like he had to pay back God, like he had to be a good investment. He felt like he had to earn his keep, right? And so everything he did, he was in construction. If he was working a job, he had to build the wall fast enough to please God. Like he had to make sure he got the job done quick because he wants to work as unto the Lord, right? So his heart was so sincere, but that's a weight that we were not meant to carry. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift. Isn't that beautiful? And so when his heart got that, it was like, whew, he just lost it. And it was just so amazing because I wasn't even speaking on that, but the Holy Spirit was putting that in all the right, you know, round peg in a round hole, I guess. You know, he was putting it where it needed to be. And so, let's continue reading here. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Why have you received from God? Because of Jesus' fullness. Why does God do anything for you? Because of the fullness in Jesus Christ. Why do you get relationship with God? Why is there grace poured out to you? Why is there blessing and love, and you get to look like Him? He restores your heart. Why do you have that? Because of the fullness that was in Christ. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, that's a good reminder, isn't it? Just to kind of think on those things. You're a child of God because of what Jesus did for you. You're a child of God because of what the Father's idea was to birth you into this world. You're a child of God. You're a citizen of a new kingdom, right? How many of you feel like a Canadian? Okay, surprising. But do you walk around like, man, I feel particularly Canadian today? Oh, yeah, I'm Canadian. Woo! Right? Do you... What? Me? Careful, there's an American present. When she's in the States, she feels that way. Fair enough, because you notice the cultural difference. But do you ever question if you're a Canadian or not based on how you feel? Why? Because you were born here. Right? How hard do you have to try to be a Canadian? Do you have to, like, I don't know, what do you have to play hockey enough? You have to watch enough hockey, right, Becky? Do you have to go curling at least once a year to maintain your citizenship? Or is it because of a birthright? And guess what? Because you're a Canadian, we have a charter of rights and freedoms that applies to you, right? How hard do you have to work to get those? Or do they just apply because you're a citizen? Do you have to please Prime Minister Trudeau? No. Do you have to be a good enough Canadian to have justice? If someone's in your house taking your things, do you start questioning whether or not you're a Canadian? And then start wondering if the rights apply to you and what you should do? Of course not. Right? Because you're a citizen. So when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God and you start understanding the rights that you have based on your citizenship and it has nothing to do with how you feel, you start expecting certain things by birthright. You can start expecting the things that Jesus purchased for you, right? Do you get them because you tithe enough? Or because you went to enough Bible studies? Or do you get blessing from God? Do you get love? Do you get acceptance? Do you get all these things, all the promises of God? Do they apply to you because you tried so hard or because you have been transferred to a kingdom? It's because you were transferred to a kingdom, right? That's good news. And the good news is you don't just have to feel like it. It doesn't apply because you feel like it. It's the truth. And Jesus says when we understand the truth sets us free. So I'm a Canadian. So I know in the Charter of Right and Freedom, I have a right to my personal property. And if you come and try to take it from me, I call law enforcement. A law enforcement officer comes and administrates justice on my behalf because I'm a citizen of a kingdom that believes that stealing is wrong and that personal property means something. Right? Like, simple. You take the laws of, we were planning this conference. One thing we did not plan on or gather together about or start focusing on was whether or not there would be electricity here. We didn't have a meeting about who was going to turn the lights on. Why? Because we understand the laws of electricity. Imagine if Andy walked in here and the lights were off and he's like, whoa, guys, we need to call a power company because the lights aren't on. You'd be like, Andy, did you turn the switch on?
We understand those laws, right? They just apply because it's a law. Every time I'll drop this all day, every day, and it's going to fall every single time. 100% guarantee. Why? The law of gravity, right? So in the kingdom of God, who knows what kingdom means? It means king's domain, right? Or king's dominion. It's like a pyramid, right? There's one guy at the top. What he decides is delegated through the rest of the entire kingdom, and you receive what the king wants through delegated authority in government, right? In Canada, it's obviously, we don't have a kingdom. We have a dominion. You can argue whether or not there is somebody, whatever, we won't go there. Yeah. But what we get from Jesus is legal. Who knows you can't have a kingdom unless you have laws? Right? Isaiah talks about how the government will be upon Jesus' shoulders. It talks about how his government will be established in righteousness and in justice. Right? Who knows what justice is? Justice is the administration of law. Justice is done when the law is enforced, right? I want justice. What does that mean? It means you want the rights that apply to you to be applied. So you go to a judge and you say, "Judge, where's my justice? This person stole from me." Boom, they go to jail, they have to pay you back or whatever. That's the laws, right? You know that in the kingdom of God, we have laws? And don't think Old Covenant, don't think Moses, don't think Old Testament like that. You know that it is illegal for you to bear a heavy burden? Because Christ says his burden is easy and his yoke is light. Do you know in the kingdom of God, sickness is against the law? Poverty? People always get kind of squeamish when I talk about these things. Let's boil it down to two things. Is poverty freedom or is it slavery? You could say it. It's slavery. Is sickness freedom or is sickness slavery? It's slavery. Do you think just off the top of your head, does God's kingdom operate in freedom or in slavery? Freedom. For freedom, Christ came to set us free. So what we're kind of going to be doing this weekend, and what I want to encourage you all to do all the time, is start understanding the kingdom of God. Start understanding your citizenship. Start taking it for granted like you take for granted that you're going to turn the lights on when you go home. Right? You know that we have legal dominion over the demonic realm. Legal. That means spiritually you've got a badge. And when you show up, the badge represents that heaven's armies are behind what you're going to do. Right? Just like it represents a police officer in the natural realm. He shows up, that badge represents the government backing him up. And if you don't listen, there's more of us. And there's a lot meaner guys than me. Right? When you start understanding that, when you start seeing it like that, and you start walking in that authority, and you start putting those questions aside, man, are you really a Canadian? You know, I don't see any plaid. How many beavers have you played with this week? How many hockey games you gone to? You ever cut down a tree? Right? No, you were born here. Right? Of course you're a Canadian. Well, you know, you shouldn't have sworn at that guy this week. You should be better to your kids. You know, God's probably displeased with that. You think you can really pray for that guy? You think you deserve freedom from that sickness? Man, you earned it. You drank tequila every day. Now your liver's hurting. Reap what you sow. Right? But when you start understanding the kingdom of God, you are forgiven forever. Hebrews talks about he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It means those who are waking up to the fact that it's actually true. When you start hearing those lies, when you start hearing the devil talking about how you're less than, you're not this, you think you're that, but that's not true, here's what you have to do. And then you jump on the hamster wheel, like Adam and Eve did. You run for thousands and thousands of years, and human history rolls out, right? What we got to do is do exactly what we did when we first came here this evening, right? When we stood up, when we all declared what was true. Who felt a little bit lighter after that? Right? Because something is coming to you daily, trying to change who you think you are. They're trying to convince you that you don't have rights. They're trying to convince you that you deserve this. They're trying to convince you that the kingdom that you belong to is wishy-washy, yes, no, maybe so, and that there's no guarantees. But what we have in Christ, guys, is absolutely amazing. And Andy is a phenomenal teacher who's going to be bringing a lot of revelation and information about who we are in Christ, what that means, the rights we have, the authority we get to walk in because of that, the communion with the Holy Spirit we legally get to have guilt-free. Guilt-free. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Is it true? Do you have to feel like it, or are you just in Him? Doesn't matter how you feel. And I'm not saying there's not a place for feelings. Obviously, feelings are a gift, Ben. They're awesome. Feelings are like amazing. But if you just start waiting for your circumstances to line up before you start believing what Christ has accomplished on your behalf for you, then all the devil has to do is pop a tire on your van and your day's wrecked, right? So we want to live above that. You know who I love? I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because those are guys, who we all know that story, right? These guys are rolling in Babylon. These twisted dudes say to Nebuchadnezzar, hey, you should make everybody worship you. And he's like, that's a great idea. I'm pretty great. And so he builds this statue of himself. Can you imagine how conceited do you have to be to like, that's a great idea. Let's spend a bunch of money and build a huge statue of myself. And everyone's going to bow down. You know, that's like, whoa, is that twisted. But anyways, he comes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he's like, boys, they tell me you are not interested in worshiping me and my idol. So what we're going to do is we're going to see if you really believe what you say you believe. So you can bow down and worship this, or you can come over here and jump in this nice toasty fire. What are you going to do? And like good Jewish boys, you know, we believe God. We're going to stand on truth, and it doesn't matter, right? Good answer. He's like, oh, okay, gotcha. Nice one, boys. No, I understand. I respect that, but we're going to turn it 7 times hotter here. Now what do you think? Right? Who's ever stood for truth in a situation and things got worse? Isn't that funny? You see it? It's actually weird because it's probably more of a mercy because they would just die faster, right? 7 times hotter? That's like, you die 7 times faster, I guess. But they came to this circumstance, this external thing that wasn't the word of God, that was trying to eat their lunch, that was trying to dictate how their day was going to be, that was trying to get them to bow, right? That was trying to get them to compromise on who they were. It was fire, it was hot, it was real. And it's amazing how these guys reacted. They said, King, what is your fire to us? Like they don't even care about the fire. Because to these boys, the debate was over. The debate on who's king was over already. They weren't trying to see, well, you know, straddle that line. The Bible talks about a double-minded man receives nothing from God. Because you're straddling a line and you're hopping back and forth. You're yes, no, maybe so. You're swayable, right? You're like a boat that's on the ocean. The winds come, the waves, whoosh, whoosh. What if you just anchored yourself? Waves, wind, I put my anchor down. I'm going to weather the storm. So these guys, they say, what's your fire to us, O King? We know who the true living God is. We're going to worship Him. We're not bowing down to that. And that fire means nothing to us. And you know what's phenomenal? I heard a pastor talk about this one time. He said, it's phenomenal because God saved the boys in the midst of the fire. He didn't even put the fire out. He didn't even put the fire out. He saved them in the midst of it. Fourth man showed up in there, right? Jesus. He saved them in the midst of the fire. And when they came out They didn't even smell like smoke. A single hair hadn't been burned. There may be situations we're walking in where we're trying to ask God to get us out of this. We're trying to get God to like save us from this situation. But what if he wants to save you in the midst of it? So that you walk through and you're like, oh, and then everybody else is like, oh, how come they're not freaking and crushing and burning? There's so much glory because the fourth man shows up. Guess where the fourth man is now, right? He exists in you and me. And he wants to open our eyes to the truth about the kingdom that we exist in. It's amazing, guys. And that's what's wrong with, that's when you get it, it's like, I can't keep living the way I was living because I know something now. You know, I used to be terrified of demons. We'll go to break with this, but when I started understanding the authority and the dominion I had in the kingdom of God, that stuff totally, like, it was like, and it was hard fought. I had to go through a couple fires. But now it's like, let's trounce those things. Let's bump them. Like, let's just get this over with. It's like fun. It's fun. And then they manifest and you're like, ha ha, I see through you, you faker. And the fire of God goes, boom. And they go, ree. It's so different when you know who you are. You come to circumstances differently. Your circumstances don't have to change. If you change, you're going to react differently. Right? I'm not saying God doesn't help our circumstances out, but it's more important that you change because circumstances, Jesus said, there's always going to be trials. There's always going to be trouble. So if we can start waking up to who we are, we'll be saved from a lot of that in the midst of it. Does that sound awesome? Right? It's power. So we're going to take a quick break here. 10 minutes. We've got coffee and fruit and snacks in the back, so just help yourselves, and I'll just close. Thank you, God, so much for the revelation of your truth, Jesus, of who you've said we are, Father. In spite of all circumstances, of all feelings and all of emotions, Jesus, you said that if we believe in you, that we get the right to become children of God. So I just thank you for this weekend, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts to receive what it is you want to give us this weekend. And we're just expecting amazing multiplication and fruit throughout all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.